Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Congelos. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. You know, it's hard to believe we've already gone through the month of January. Happy February to everyone. Through January, we were talking about Financial Wellness Month. And, you know, the whole perspective on being financially healthy, managing your assets, you know, it is scriptural, which is know the state of your flocks. When we did our last week's show, we got on the topic a little bit about Social Security and the benefits of Social Security, how it works, when to retire, when not to retire, whatever the case might be. And I thought that we needed to spend a little bit more time on that because it's such a big subject and because for most Americans, Social Security is the primary source of income for a lot of people when they retire. So that being the case, when I went back to my office after last week's show, my in-house expert and one of my best advisors is named Richard Pasek. Richard's been with me probably 25 years, you know, in the financial service industry. He's a CLU, CHFC, one of our vice presidents and partners over at CNA Financial Group. So I had invited Richard to speak on our show today and to just have a little dialogue with me, a little bit about Social Security because of his areas of expertise. So I want to welcome Richard. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us this week.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's good to be here.
So, Rich, I know that, you know, in what you do with providing advice, and you've been in the business a long time helping people, same as myself, you've seen it all. And when I say you've seen it all, you see people early, they retire late, whatever the case might be. And Social Security is kind of like that area where when you're young in life, you don't think about it, okay? When you're midlife, you don't think about it. And then all of a sudden, at around 50 or so, you start knowing it's there a little bit, you become more conscious of it. And then all of a sudden, as you get closer and closer to Social Security retirement ages, all of a sudden it's like, how does that work? And it's really kind of a gray area because there's not a lot of people that go out there and talk about it.
Sure. It's a huge benefit. Benefits can total for a retiree well over $1 million. Actually, even close to $2 million for a family, husband, wife, depending on what their income level was.
So we're talking about a lot of money, and we're talking about, you know, it's important for most people. So what I'd like to do today is really talk a little bit about how it works, what it is, and so forth. You know, kiddingly, last week, you know, I said, you know, I've heard the definition of retirement is to put out of service, and who wants to be put out of service? But there does come a point where we sit there and we go, you know what, physically or mentally, I just can't do what I typically am doing, you know, to the level that I am. So at some point, you know, I may need to or I may desire to retire and go on to something else, one that I enjoy doing more. Or I might decide that, you know what, I've worked already 50 years of my life. You know, my life expectancy is another 15, 20 years. I like to just enjoy friends and family, help the church, help the community, whatever. So we all look at it that way. So with that being said, Rich, why don't we start out by very simply, how does somebody, first of all, qualify for Social Security? And when I say qualify for it is, you know, it's like if you had someone, a spouse or somebody who didn't work, you know, most of their life, and all of a sudden they're 62 years old and they go, oh, geez, you know, I think I better get some Social Security benefits in so I can get a retirement benefit. You know, what does someone need to do to qualify for Social Security?
I'll tell you, Frank, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Social Security, even from the advisors. And I felt as I was getting older that I had to learn this because most of my clients are getting toward age 60, 65. So I have to learn this system, and I did. I took a lot of time to learn it. The first thing is how to qualify. Depending on the circumstances, some people with no income can collect Social Security benefits. They collect off their spouses. But typically, Social Security looks back at a 35-year work history and averages out with an inflation factor and determines what the person's benefit will be at what's called full retirement age. And full retirement age right now is age 66.
So if we stay with that for a little bit, I've heard that, you know, they use this term, and I understand how it works, but they use this term is called credits. And so what happens for every period of time that we work during our lifetime, we receive some credits. Explain a little bit about how many credits we need or how many quarters we need in order to qualify for Social Security.
Basically, it's 40 credits or 10 years of service.
So what they're saying is that, you know, you would have had to have put in about 10 years worth of work in order to qualify. So as an example, it's not going to be like, okay, you know, you haven't done anything for the last 45 years of your life, you know, since you're 20, and all of a sudden it's like you're 64 and you go, you know, I'd like to get a Social Security benefit. Let me show up at
work. It doesn't work that way. Yes.
Okay, so it's not going to work that way. You need about 10 years in. Mm-hmm. And one of the other questions is that what about earnings? And when I say earnings is if, you know, my last 10 years of earnings are my highest, does that help me versus, you know?
And it does. That's right. Because in our beginning of all our careers, or maybe in a situation of a spouse raising kids, you may have some very low income years or even 0 years in that 35-year period. And if you work a little longer with a high income, you may replace one of those zeros, therefore adding and increasing your benefits.
Very good. And then, you know, you mentioned that they look at, you know, everything over a 35-year period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is that how they're determining benefits, Rich?
They look at it at age 62, and they determine what your benefits will be at your full retirement age. And again, today's full retirement age is age 66. That will increase gradually over the next, I believe it's about 13 years until age 67.
Now that being said, someone who's going out at age 62 versus normal retirement age, do you have any idea, Rich, of how much the benefit is reduced for them? You know, when I did last week's show, an article that I saw said it was almost 25%.
Yeah, it's even more. It's about 30%, depending on exactly what age. That's a problem that most people are retiring before the full retirement age. And we want to look at that closely because those benefits are permanently reduced.
You know, and when you say that, just, you know, for our listeners, I mentioned it on last week's show, but just as a reminder to them, which is, you know, the government is basically saying, or the rules basically say that in the year 2014, if you have income over $15,480 and you are receiving Social Security benefits, for every dollar that you earn or for every $2 that you earn above the $15,480, you get back a dollar of benefits. So what's happening is you're giving back part of your benefits because you're earning too much. And so that's the problem with going out too early if you have other income.
That's one of the problems. And it's also misunderstood, Frank. What happens is your benefits do get reduced, but they get recalculated for the following year. So they keep on getting recalculated every time you give back. So it doesn't technically, if a person lives their life expectancy, actually it does increase their benefits and not reduce their benefits.
So it's not as bad as it seems.
It's not as bad as it. It's a misunderstanding. And that's one of the problems with people that take Social Security early. They think that I'm going to take it because Social Security is not going to be there when I retire. Social Security is strong right now. It's actually in a surplus. It's about $2.6 trillion in a surplus. It's scheduled to go down, and we're going to have some issues probably in about 20 years, and I believe changes will take place, but we just don't know what the problems are going to be in the future. We just know it's solvent. They're not going to take it away.
Well, and Rich, I'm a believer, you know, it's over the years, because I've heard people say, oh, we're never going to get that money and so forth. And by the way, nobody knows. Okay, so that's mm-hmm. – by the way, for all our listeners, there's my disclaimer. I tell you,
yeah,
nobody
know
knows.
For sure. That's right.
However, I really have a difficult time believing that the government would default on a benefit, especially when they have the ability to tax. So what they're able to do is they're able to give it and tax it back, and they're able to do a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that they'll default on that. So I would tell you that shouldn't be your primary concern during retirement.
That's right. They may means test it. A
Correct.
Little bit. They
I agree,
may
100%.
Tax it higher instead of 85% being the maximum tax of taxable Social Security being taxable at 85% of what the benefits are. They may tax the full Social Security. I'm not sure, but there'll be certain things. They'll reduce in cost of living increases. Something's going to change, but not tremendously.
So let me go to the next question for you, Rich. So we spoke about if you go out early, the benefits are reduced, okay? And then we explained how that worked, and we also explained that if, you know, somebody continues to work, how the tax works on that or how the benefits get taxed back. Is there a benefit for someone to wait to collect? In other words, am I better off, you know, waiting if my normal retirement age is 66 or 67, is there a benefit of waiting even past normal retirement age?
Sure, Frank, there is. Actually, we'll look at a person's finance, and sometimes advise a person not to take their Social Security benefits at age 66, for example, they will increase on a guaranteed rate of 8% per year over those 4 years, or 132% of what the 66 benefit was. Today, if a person's going out in the year 2014, the maximum benefit for any one person is $2,642. If that same person defers, the benefit at age 70 will be $3,487, not counting COLA, cost of living increases.
So that doesn't sound terrible, you know, when you listen to that. And my thing, you know, to our listeners would be couple-fold. One is that, you know, life expectancy comes into play here, which having received benefits from age 66 to, you know, say age 70, so those extra 4 years have significance. I mean, if you just rounding it off, if that was an extra $30,000 per year in benefits that you got for 4 years, you collected an extra $120,000. Now, the other side of that is that if I live a very long time, so God willing, you know, Willard Scott's announcing your name, you hit 100, having that additional income for a longer period of time, at some point outweighed it. So you have to kind of look and say, what's my family history? How do I feel? What's my health history? All that really takes into account for that.
That's right. There's a break-even point that we'll look at in that case from age 66 to 70, about age 79. So we don't know how long you can live, but if you live beyond age 79, you might be better off waiting.
Good answer and great perspective. How about let's go to the next thing, Rich, which is we have two spouses, okay? We have husband and wife, okay, that retired, okay? Some misconceptions out there are that the spouse gets a reduced benefit, okay? And I know that you and I have spoken about that, and that may not be true.
That's true. A big misconception, even in a financial planning world, we've been educated for some reason, I'm not sure, that two spouses cannot collect their full benefits. And just for example, if we have a husband and wife that were both high income earners and they're both at age 66 right now, they both can collect that $2,642 and it'll continue for their whole life of each one of them.
That's a great perspective. So what happens is there's no penalty on a married couple. You know, that at retirement, you know, they had, you know, it was different. I think that what may confuse people is that if you had a spouse that didn't work, okay, so if I have husband and wife and one of them worked, had good income, and they get the $2,600, does the spouse also get a benefit?
Yes, the spouse gets 50%. Let's assume a spouse's benefit was very small and she or he had $500 a month, but the one spouse had $2,600. That spouse gets one half of the $2,600 or $1,300.
And I think that that's where the confusion comes in for some people, that they're thinking in terms of, oh, the maximum a spouse can get is half of the higher.
Mm-hmm.
And what they missed was the fact that that's not true if the spouse had good earnings would have got the higher benefit. They're thinking of a spouse that would have had a lower benefit or no benefit perhaps if they didn't work.
That's correct.
So, Rich, thank you for clarifying that for our listeners. How about, you know, if we just kind of look through a couple of other things here. What about when do benefits stop increasing? So as an example, Rich, you indicated that if my normal retirement age was 66 and if I continue to wait to receive benefits, that it's increasing by 8% a year. What if I wait till 75?
Well, that wouldn't be a good idea because it stops increasing at age 70.
Got it. So there is that point. It's age 70 when it stops.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another thing, Rich, you and I were speaking about, which I'd love to share with our listeners, which is the idea that if I defer receiving the benefit, is that I deferred it because I was working and that's why it went up, or just because I deferred it? In other words, if I could have afforded to live off of my assets for a few years, okay, versus, you know, taking Social Security right away, does that still increase the benefit? In other words, what did I have to be working and paying into the system as far as an employee and so forth for that 8% to be happening, or does it just happen because of time?
Great question, Frank. Again, at age 62, the Social Security Administration looks back at your previous 35 years of earnings and says this is what your age or your full retirement benefit would be. Just assume it's age 66. At that point, you may collect at age 62, which reduced it by about 30%, or wait until age 70 and get 132% of that money. It doesn't – working longer can increase your benefits if you have high earnings. However, once you hit the maximum, you hit the maximum anyway. So sometimes we'll look at a person's assets that say, well, I want to retire at 62 for whatever reason. We'll say that's some of the strategies we'll look at. Say, well, maybe you should spend some of your IRA or your other assets first and defer Social Security, because the increase on Social Security is at a guaranteed increase of 8%. And I would highly doubt their assets are increasing by 8%.
That's a great perspective, Rich, you know, when you look at that. And I think that that's one that a lot of people miss, because I don't think they look at it like that. They kind of look and they go, well, I'm going to take the minimum from my IRA each year, you know, which is that minimum distribution that I have to make, or they just kind of figure out, okay, I'll start living on 4% or 5% of that. While they start taking the Social Security, had they done it the other way, they would have had the Social Security benefit growing by that 8% per year.
That's correct. And I believe if they live a long life, they'll make more from the Social Security strategies than taking it early.
The last thing, you know, that I'll just touch on, and, you know, Rich, and, you know, you and I didn't talk about this before the show, is that, you know, we're talking about retirement benefits, but the fact is that one of the other elements that goes along with this is my health benefit, which is Medicare. Now, here's one of the things sometimes that people may miss, which is Medicare, you can't collect early. You can't get that at 62.
No,
am I correct?
Can't. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So when you think in terms of, I'm going to take retirement benefits early, I'm going to take them at age 62, that doesn't mean that you're getting your Medicare, your health benefits, in which case if you left your employer and you did that, now you may have to pay for your own health insurance, and it could cost you significantly.
That's a huge cost. That's correct. That's why we encourage people to stay working.
Very good. So for all of our listeners, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today has been Richard Pasek, CLU, CHFC, Vice President over at CNA Financial Group, one of my partners here. And, Rich, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. It was really great insight, so
great.
We appreciate it.
Had fun.
And for all of our listeners, this is Frank Congelos. Happy February to you. Hopefully the weather starts to break and we start warming up a little bit. And aside from that, I wish all of our listeners a truly blessed week. If you have questions, you could write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736. Or you can email us at info@ifrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week.
Thank you.